Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I want to talk a little about six enemies to faith and just kind of things that can kind of get us derailed. We live in a, and I was just, something that came up the other day, and I was just thinking about it, and it just kind of, you know, I was meditating on some things, and this statement just came to my mind. It was just, Jesus is the only way out. And that's so true on so many levels, meaning out of this life, he's the only way out of, you know, obviously to heaven. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's really so true. He's the only way out. And every circumstance or anything that we're dealing with. but tonight, again, I want to talk about six enemies to faith. And then we'll, next week, we'll get into talking about relationships and some kind of shift some gears. But I thought, well, we got this 1 week tonight. And then, so let's look at, you know, obviously there's, you know, what we call the good fight of faith. And there's really one fight that we're really in this life, and it's the fight of faith. And it's just getting our stinking thinking straightened out. And we see in 1 Timothy 6:12, but again, that's talking about the good fight of faith. Now, a lot of people, they say, and I love Brother Hagin talking about this, how some people will say, I remember one time he was preaching, and some guy got up and testified, and he goes, yeah, the devil's been after me all week, but bless his holy name. I'm like, okay, bless his holy name, call him in the wrong spot, you know? And I knew it, he's praising the Lord, but it was like, he was talking about the devil's been after him all week, and it's like, wait a minute here, we as believers need to be after the devil, right? We don't, as faith-filled believers, we are not, now, we know the enemy is trying to, you know, hinder us often or trip us up. And I was talking about in prayer, there's just been a lot of things lately that, especially this week, were just things on Facebook and the news and just weird things going on. We need to cling to Jesus like never before. And some people will say, well, you know, they're just trying to fight sin, or they're trying to overthrow sin. Well, Jesus is the answer, right? And if we don't have Jesus, we can't fight sin ourselves. It's the sin Jesus paid for at the cross. So too many people are trying to do and take care of, I like to say, stay in my lane, right? I was talking with somebody this week, and a guy was talking, and he said something about, yeah, I was doing all this work, this guy that was a business owner, and we were talking, and I was, just kind of made me think he was, I had a rock chip in my windshield I was talking about earlier, and I popped in there, and he was kind of talking to me about, so he'd be doing some remodeling and things at his house and this and that, and he does this, and he was doing all this stuff. I said, that's really great. And then we were talking, I said, well, I kind of like to stay in my lane. I'm really good at some things, and I'm not as good at others, and our guy, we just kind of stay out of our ways. And that's what I think, too. We need to stay in our lane. You know what? Jesus has got his job that he's already done, and we've got a job we need to do, and we need to, that's why it's so important to read the Word. Like Adrian was talking about earlier, we need to stay in the Word, and we don't get off track, right? Because if we just listen to this preacher or this denomination or this, what this church has to say or anything else too, then we're off on, you know, well, this is God's will and this is God's will and all of these other crazy things, and then our faith gets off because then things don't work. And we're trying to do what Jesus accomplished, right? Well, I'm trying to hold on, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that. And yeah, it can be frustrating at some times, but we just need to what? Trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. And so we look at the first one is a failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ, right? We need a revelation of who we are in Jesus. And so if we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'll look them up here in the New Living. Yes, I will. Get you all, you know, get you short of, hey, dude. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:17. One of those Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Right. 5:17, and it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Right? And that's why Jesus is talking about also, we see there in the Gospels where he said, you know, you don't take new wine and put it into old wineskins, right? Because what's going to happen is the old wineskin can't handle the new. Well, we're a new creature. God does not inhabit garbage. We have to be recreated for him to live in us. So we are now new creatures if we're in Christ. And some people, they have a misunderstanding of this. We are just, I remember a lot of people, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm a new creature.
Amen.
I was a sinner. And yes, if I do mess up, I have 1 John 1:9, right? That if we sin, it doesn't say when we sin, it says if we sin, if we miss the mark, then he's faithful and just. We, you know, confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all of our sins. So, yeah, we're a new creature. We are not, you know, some people are always trying to deal with their sin and everything. It's like, wait a minute, I'm a new creature. I identify with Jesus. He lives in me. And, you know, a lot of those people, we're just struggling to get to heaven.
No.
You know, and all those old hymns, you know, on the other side. And hey, we kind of need to have that come back, right? Where it's like, we need to kind of celebrate the other side and celebrate heaven. And those things are good, but it's kind of like everything's awful now, but it's going to be, we just got to get across the finish line. And, well, I kind of want to enjoy God here on this time period, right? And so we can kind of, because Ephesians says that the family here on earth and in heaven, that we're all one family. So whether we're here on the earth or in heaven, we're all part of the same family. And it's like you're not going to be any more saved in heaven than you are right now because we're a new creature on the inside. Now, it'll be a whole lot different there than it will be here, obviously. And, you know, I mean, I can't wait till to the supper of the Lamb. I mean, you know, think about it. Eat everything you want. I don't have to worry about this anymore because you got a glorified body. You know, that'd be cool.
I don't know if we'll even get full.
I know. It's just like, whoa, this is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
You know? It's like no bills to pay. Eat what you want all the time. I mean, it's just like Jesus is there. I mean, you know, what else do you want? It's amazing. So, you know, we can live victorious here, and when we're trying to, we don't have the identify as we're a new creature. We're actually a sons and daughter of God, and Jesus is actually, we're joint heirs, Romans says, with Jesus. Mm-hmm. The second one is, let's turn to, where should we turn to? Oh. Well, the second one is we're failure to understand our place in Christ, right? So we're a new creature, and we're what? In him, aren't we? We're in him. I like how there's approximately, and Brother Hagin talks about this, about the little In Him book. That's really awesome. But there's about 140 statements of in him in there, where it says in him, in the New Testament. About 140 of those. And Brother Hagin talks about this lady that took 25 of those and meditated on for like a number of weeks. And then she says, I was completely different. It's just having the revelation of who we are in Jesus. And one of the cool things I just remember reading about Samuel, you know, we read not too long ago about Samuel's mother, Hannah, and how she was so distraught because she didn't have any children. And she was in the temple and Eli was there and she was, you know, he was there at the gate or at the entrance of the temple, and the cool thing is, it's just so awesome. Every year, her the other wife would harass her all the time and make fun of her and mock her for not having kids and this and that, and then she just gets so upset, and that's kind of going over the line. But you know, a lot of people in the Bible go over the line. So you know what? It's like after all these years, we're still the same. People are still the same. But I just remember her talking, and then she says, well, I'm just kind of babbling here to Eli. And then she told him what was going on, and he said, oh, well, may the Lord bless you. And then he spoke over her, and he said that the Lord would grant you what you desire. And then it says what? Because before that, she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't do anything. And then after that, she had what? Joy, and her countenance changed, and it says, and then she ate. And then she went on her way like nothing happened. Why? Because she got her mind under control. And like, wait, you know what? it's going to happen for me. I believe what the priest just said. So, having the in him mentality and knowing that we are in him and everything that he has accomplished at the cross, it belongs to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, and I'll read it out of New Living Translation. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Now, this is kind of a tongue twister. If you read it kind of fast, you kind of do what here? So, he made him, which is who? Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. So, you know, you get people become so mad when you talk about things like Jesus went to hell. Well, of course he did, because he had to get the keys to what? Death and hell, right? And he, you know, when you say that he became, and then we also see in Romans that he was the firstborn among many brethren, right? That means Jesus was born again. The first one to be born again. Well, the reason why that is because he became sin. He didn't commit sin, but he became sin. Sin came upon him. And what did he do? He took our sin. And then it says here, so that we might become the righteousness of God, what? In him. So he paid the price. He took the sin that he didn't commit, put it on, you know, the Father put that sin was put on Jesus. He died spiritually. People freak out on that too. He died physically and he died spiritually. And then he became born again, and it says he became the firstborn of many brethren. But right here it says, so that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. And there's that little in him again, right? That in him. So, so if we look at 1 John 1, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John 1:9 again, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what does sin do? It just separates us from God, doesn't it? It just creates a barrier. And Jesus said there in John, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the bridge to bring us back to the Father. And so again, failure to understand righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is basically we are now positioned, have a position with God that we didn't have before because of Jesus. And there's certain benefits and there's certain things that he paid for us that we get the benefits for, right? You know? And it's kind of like, you know, when, you know, like President Trump, when he was, you know, made all of his money, he's a billionaire, and he had all these kids. Well, those kids didn't work for it, but they received all the benefits, right? Why? Because they're part of the family. And so, you know, part of the family, get the benefits. I'm like us. We're in the family when we become born again. We're in him. We're righteous because of the righteousness. We get all those benefits, right? And because of, we can have healing. We can have financial blessings. We can have peace in our life. We can have all of these things. What does sin do? It is, the wages of sin is death. And so, but we can have life, and it's not because of what we do, but it's because of what? Because of what he did. I was watching this documentary. It's about a cult, and it was crazy. And all these people that were in, that had gotten out of the cult, it was, you know, an extreme, it was an off-branch of a Mormonism. And it was really extreme, strict, and they were talking about, they said they never felt good enough. They could not attain it. Why? Well, because the problem with these cults, there's a man that is dictating the terms. And you notice how the terms always change for what he feels like. And they always change, always increase, and always did this. And that's where religion comes in, and cults and things like that, is because you're never good enough. And I remember just years ago watching, you know, some of these terrorists online or, you know, videos when the whole, you know, Iraqi war was going on, the second one. And you'd see them, and then you'd have a terrorist sitting there on camera, and they'd have, you know, they'd have like a rifle or something or weapon, and they'd be, you know, talking to the camera, and they said, well, I'm going to go, you know, we're going to, you know, do a suicide bomb or something, and if God willing. And I'm like, what if you're wrong? You know? What if you messed up, you know, and you blow yourself up, and it wasn't Allah's will, and he just kind of changed his mind, and then, because, you know, Islam is all about, you know, Allah or their God, he's kind of moody, you know, one minute he likes you, the next minute he doesn't, he's mad at you, and they're always like, if God's willing. Before I do anything like that, I kind of want to know for sure, you know, that's kind of one of those things, that's not just kind of a shoot from the hip kind of decision. It's kind of a, I kind of need to know before I do that what the decision is. And guess what? We can see the Bible. We can know the will of God because we see in the scriptures, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? So we can see what the character of God the Father is through Jesus, because Jesus was the actual representation here. Well, and that's where people will come in. I'll pause here for a moment too, and kind of go on another little tangent. But that's where some people will get so hung up on the Old Testament, and they'll say, well, God was brutal and God was mean. You know what's so great? God sees us in this church age through the lens of Jesus. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because when we're born again, God does not look at us as those people that are not saved or the Old Testament people, but he sees us through the eyes, and we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So when he's looking at us, he sees us as Jesus. And of course, we're not Jesus, right? We're not deity. We're not God. But there is so much difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because again, we have a new covenant. We have, you know, Jesus has already paid the price for us. So there is differences there. But spiritual laws are spiritual laws, whether Old or New Testament, meaning if you sin, you don't come to Christ, then obviously there's going to be judgment. So what do we see here? Failure to understand your righteousness. Let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. You know, some people get so hung up on. I remember watching this guy one time. We just read it about, I can't remember, it wasn't Boaz. I can't remember who we just read about there in the Old Testament, but talking about he made a promise to God. And this is where some people will get hung up on, like, Old Testament things or things, and they'll say, well, God, how can God let that happen? And he said, one of the guys, I can't remember his name, in the Old Testament said, whoever comes out of this, comes out of this tent, or whoever comes out of this area first, I'm going to kill him as a vow to God. Well, and then his daughter came through, and he was so distraught. And then you got all these people that come there, and they say things like, well, why would God, you know, agree to that? Well, first of all, when you read the Old Testament, God didn't agree to any of that.
Yeah.
Right? So when you read the Bible, you're like, this knucklehead, I'd say it, made a stupid statement.
Correct.
That I'm going to kill my daughter when he walks out, when whoever walks out, I'm going to kill them because of this, this, and this. And nowhere in the text did God say, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the problem is, in the Bible, it records stupid people doing stupid things.
Yeah.
And there is no place where God puts his stamp of approval on stupidity, right? Because we just read through Judges, and what is Judges? Judges is nothing but you repent, they come back to God, they fall into sin, they repent again, it happens again, and again, and again, and again, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but God's chosen people are pretty stupid a lot, right? I mean, they're dumb. They're about the most sinful people ever. They repent, they get back, and I don't know, they have this lust for paganism, and God does amazing things for them, and then they fall flat back into sin again, over and over and over again. So, and that's another topic, but you know, we see things in the Bible where people just do dumb things, and we should be able to read them and learn from them. And then what people, what, you know, the world gets on, well, why did God let that happen? Well, I'm sorry, but it's a recording of people doing things. And again, it's, if you look at, what's that?
That's that Proverbs 19.
Yeah, exactly.
And the message just says in Proverbs 19, people ruin their lives by their own stupidity. So why does God always get blamed?
Right. And a lot of, and a lot of the people we read, whether even it's like you're thinking, what does like Ruth and Boaz have anything to do with anything? It's recording Jesus' lineage all the way up. And that's a precursor to what? You know, Obed, and then it goes into Jesse, and then King David, right? So a lot of these things are a precursor to go into to explain the lineage of who really is the ultimate thing, is Jesus at the end of all of this. So anyway, I digress. But, you know, sometimes we people will just, you know, like they've got these people that are atheists and everything. You got this thing like, you know, like him making this statement about whoever comes out, I'm making a declaration to God that I'm going to kill them because of this. And then God didn't agree to any of this stuff, you know. And then you have people, I got you. See, God's bad. Well, no, he's nowhere. There's no conversation of God in the text anywhere in any of these things, right? So, or, you know, people would get hung up on, you know, God killed this purpose, or he did these things, and he did these things. No, it's, you know, when they came out, Israel came out of, the Hebrews came out of Egypt, and they're, you know, worshiping these idols, the golden calf and everything, and the God, and the ground swells up, people, and then closes back up. It's called judgment, you know? So it doesn't mean God's a mean, bad person. It's just, you know, sometimes you got to get rid of the waste and move on. So that was like, too, how the Noah's Ark, you know, we always, little kids' rooms and everything, we have the Noah's Ark thing, you know, and I'm thinking with all the animals, I'm thinking it's cute, but it's not really the story. Like, you know, they don't have the people screaming off the sides, you know, trying to grab onto the boat, and, you know, all the people dying, and, you know, hey, there's only six of us that walked out, or eight of us that walked out of this thing together. So anyway, I digress. But so John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, and it says, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. So what are we talking about here? We don't understand the name of Jesus, do we? Right? And as New Testament believers, you know, we always think that we're praying, well, I'm going to pray to Jesus. No, we're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. And Jesus, the reason why is because of that covenant we have, right? Because God is not like, well, who are you? But he says, oh, it's because of Jesus I'll answer your prayer, right? And then we see here in verse 24, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. So one of our faith robbers or things we're in life is we do not ask the Father in Jesus' name. We don't ask in the name of Jesus. You know, we also see there, and you don't have to turn there, but again, Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. And what are we really believing in? The name of Jesus, right? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We'll close here in just a few minutes here. The next one is failure to act on his word. Failure to act upon his word. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. One of the things that one of the accounts in the Bible that really, I think, always makes me look at this is King David at Ziklag. When he comes up and him and his army and his soldiers have been gone, and they come back, their wives are gone, their kids are gone, everything's gone, and I think it was Amalekites came and took it. And so, you know, we've got David, King David there, and everybody's distraught. They're planning on killing him. I mean, his men are talking about killing. Kind of like, how could you let this happen? And most people, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be tempted to freak out. You know, you lost all your stuff. Your family has been taken. All of your, you know, basically all of your finances, everything, it's gone. And then you've got everybody over here going to kill you. It's a perfect opportunity, like the girls say, crash out.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Teen talk.
I mean, teen talk here, you know, crash out, you know. Yeah. Just flip out, panic, you know, have a nervous breakdown, just whatever. And what does it say there? It says that he inquired of the Lord. Now, David screwed up a lot, right? I mean, he did, you know, some not so good things. But it is interesting that, you know, his heart was with the Lord, but at that time he didn't lean to his understanding, right? Because he could have panicked, and then he said, "Do I pursue them and take them over?" And the Lord said, "Go, I'll be with you." Now, that's somebody, even Old Testament, not even born again, coming back and saying, I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to inquire of the Lord in the midst of crazy things going on. And so this is where we as believers can get, and, you know, we don't, how can I say, we don't inquire of the Lord, we don't study the scriptures, and so we don't know what the word says on things. And what does the Bible say? My people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And there was something here just recently, and it's interesting because I was doing something, and then all of a sudden, you know how anything you do, you're when you get into something, you're always trying to figure things out and doing different things. And I remember I was kind of consulting with this guy and asking him, "Hey, this is where I'm at, and this is what I need to do, and help, and everything." And he was talking me through, and I thought, what if I didn't know that, right? What if I didn't understand how to do a certain thing? It's like people perish for lack of knowledge. And so there's a lot of information out there, but there's not a lot of wisdom or knowledge sometimes, you know? It's like you can, I was kind of, because I deal with this all the time, you know, I got some of these people, well, I tried it, you know, they watch a YouTube video and they don't quite get it, and then they call me, help, and we don't condemn people, don't worry. But you know, when you can see something but people perish for a lack of knowledge on how to do things, yeah. Right, and there are things that I don't even know how to do. There are some things I don't work on appliances, okay? So guess what, I find someone who has knowledge to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And guess who has the knowledge? The Bible. And we can go there and we can find what we need. So again, too many people fail to act on the word. So if King David that day would have panicked, flipped out, they would have killed him. But then guess what? When he came back, all of his men were, he's a darker fellow. I mean, he's a hero back then, right? I mean, you know, and we've got, the thing I laugh about is you know, when King Saul was, you know, king, and then they were, you know, fighting the Philistines and Goliaths there. And, you know, King Saul, the Bible says, he was literally head and shoulders taller than anyone else. So guess who's the one that probably would have been best to go out and fight Goliath, right? And I always just think, why didn't they get like 20 guys and just go ransack him? You know, I mean, but there wouldn't be a testimony involved in that, right? Because I always think probably like, let's just get 50 guys and let's just go get this guy. And, you know, we'll just all, you know, gang up on him and everything. And we'll just knock him out and then go get the people. But you ever notice how, too, they said, well, if he defeats you, then you're going to be our slaves. And if you defeat us, we'll be your slaves. You notice how right when David hit him, they took off running.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, the devil's crowd, they don't really keep up their end of the bargain. So again, failure to act on the word is unfortunately, you know, and I think sometimes too, again, hate to, some of the denominational folks, you know, they get off on things like, well, if it's God's will, you know, that's a big one, or, well, that's not my conviction. What about the Bible's conviction? Let's go with that. How's that? Let's figure that out. And what happens is I think people are just lazy or they don't want to know. You know? It's kind of like, you know, middle of the month when you're opening those bills and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to look at them. Or you pull up your, you know, sometimes when times have been tough, you pull up your bank account and you're like, let's see here. Ugh. Put that away. You don't want to look at it, right? Been there. Yep. And, or, you know, the gas prices you're pumping, and like, what?
I know.
You know, that's terrible. Yeah, so, but no, we got to dig into the Word. We can find the truth for ourselves. And then, and real faith is the of knowing God's Word. And so what do we see? Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? For in Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sometimes we're just not believing, we're not doing the things that getting into the Word, again, meditating on the Word, letting the Word change us. And so I just love, like today, I just spent time just meditating the Word, just getting in the Word, just, again, just reading the things, you know, and it's like also, too, the more I read the Old Testament, the more I appreciate our new covenant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus, for showing up, because it was good, but then, you know, you kind of get into that, you know, slaughtering bulls and doing this and doing that, and it's like, you know, animal activists have a coronary with, we're still under the Old Covenant. So again, failure to hold fast to our confession of faith, right? Sometimes we just give up in life. You know? Kind of, I felt like that. I mean, I think we've all felt like that at sometimes. You just, things are going on in life and just people and this and that and whatever. And we feel that, you know, I just want to give up. I just want to do these things. But it's a fight of faith. And then I think that's something too where, you know, where we're talking during prayer, talking about when we do discuss our faith, where there's a lot of Christians where it's kind of odd, because sometimes people will act like everything's going to be so fab, and it is wonderful once you get born again, but the thing of it is, sometimes you have more problems, and because the people you were maybe hanging out with, they don't like it, because now you're moving on to something else, and they're going to be left alone here without you. Sometimes there's that, or you have other people that, well, when you get born again, then again, it's going to be great when we get to heaven, but it's going to be miserable here. I mean, it's going to be terrible, awful. It's going to be, you know, you're going to be poor, nobody's going to like you. You know, it's going to be awful, because God doesn't want people to have money, and it's just on and on and on. Again, not knowing the Word. Well, you know, this money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so when we get into the Word, we can see that, you know, God doesn't want us, you know, busted and disgusted, but He wants us to be blessed. So Mark 11:23. And again, it's running to God, I think, a lot. You know, I was discussing in prayer today just about some things that came up. And it was just, you know, why is it sometimes we think God is the last source? Or, you know, He's the last thing in line. Like, everything else is falling apart, so I probably should just pray, you know? And this week I was just praying about some things. And I said, Lord, I need some help in this area. I need you to take care of this for me. And then I was praying about another thing, and then he answered both prayers. He helped me out. He did some supernatural things, and I was just, thank you, Lord, for that. And again, we don't go to God because we don't really believe it. If we do believe it, we'd be approaching him. And so here we see Mark 11:23 and 24. Truly I say unto you that whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. Now I want to stop there for a moment. First of all, if you don't believe, you're not going to open your mouth up and speak to that mountain anyway. Right? That's the first problem. You know, people don't believe, they're not going to pray, they're not even going to do those things, they're not even going to think about those things. But if we look at this again, truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, here we go, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. So first of all, some people don't even start with the first one, which is just speaking to the mountain, that problem or anything else, right? Going to God first. You know, we condemn ourselves sometimes because we think, well, you know, will God hear us? Will God? Well, we don't even ask, like Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened, right? We need to approach him, ask him. Too many people don't even do that. And then they go, well, I don't know, God just doesn't answer my prayer. Did you open your mouth? Did you read? Did you find out what belongs to you? Did you do these things? No, you give up. I remember just, you know, coaching softball. And stuff, the girl's like, well, I just can't. Well, you got to swing the bat, right? I mean, you actually have to pick the bat up and actually move it, right? It just doesn't happen when you just sit here like this. So you actually have to do something, you know, you have to swing the bat, right? You have to actually bend over to catch the ball, to get, you know, catch the grounder. Yet you have to put your glove up to catch the ball, right? Some girls don't even do that. They just, the ball's hit to them. Supposed to go to the ball. Well, you don't. If you don't go to the ball, if you don't make an effort, there's no chance of you catching it.
Right.
So again, a lot of Christians are like that, where we don't even do the first thing and just say things or believe things or even approach God and like, oh, this just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So again, truly I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever he says. Here we go, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You know, and I think it's also, too, having the mindset that, and this is where meditating on God, understanding his character, understanding your righteousness, what your position is with him. Again, it's nothing that you've done. It's not because you're so cute and so wonderful and so perfect and so awesome, even though you are. It's about what Jesus did, right? And so, and then also, too, having the mindset when we go to God, knowing that he wants to help us. He wants to help us. And he's a good father. And understand the relationship helps us. Understanding that. That's why he got so mad at Jesus, because he said God was Father. He says Father, right? He's in the Father. And they go, oh, they just get so worked up about that. Really? Well, what do you think Adam and Eve were? They were his. In the Old Testament says, and Adam, who was the what? The Son of God. Had to start somewhere. It was Adam. So that's okay. But Jesus can't do it in the New Testament, right? That's sacrilegious. So faith is measured by our confession, right? Because if sometimes we're always talking about, it'll never work, never happen, this will never happen, it's so awful, it's so terrible, everything's going down. And eventually we become what we confess, whether it's good or bad. You know, I had a guy just recently, we were talking about, you know, I was interviewing this guy, we were discussing things, and I said, you got any questions? He goes, yeah. He goes, why did you leave your job to do this? Like, I said, do you want a job or not, right? And it's like, Hello. See, everybody's so in the natural. It's kind of like, why did you leave this? And why did you do this? And, you know, you can't, everything's about, you know, everything natural. Everything's natural. Everything's this and that. And again, we're all thinking these things. And we can't, you know, look at what is God believing God or doing something. It's, you know, always natural. You know, I'm not saying we ignore the natural. But what I am saying is, we need to come, and what is your confession? What are we saying? Well, everything's going to be awful terrible. We'll never make it. It'll be terrible. It'll be awful. Did you see those gas prices? Did you see the weather? Did you see this? Did you see that? Everything's awful terrible. And, you know, I had a relative who was claimed to be Christian. I mean, he was, yeah, all the time. I had another relative, and they said, well, I don't want anything to do with God because they're so negative all the time. So, you know, what kind of a representative are we for the Lord? Let's look at right there, Mark. We'll close with this, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let's go to that scripture. I like that one. Mark 5:25. And this is the one with the issue of blood, 5:25-34. And a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, verse 25, and endured much of the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Now, all these people, I think it's about 19, if I remember correctly, about 19 specific cases in the Gospels, the people get healed. Now, there's more than 19 people that got healed in Jesus' ministry, because we see that he went in and would heal multitudes of people, right? So, and it also says that the books can contain in our world all the miracles and everything Jesus did. So, there's just insurmountable amount of things. But the Gospel writers narrow down, I believe it's about 19. And this one here, we'll see, a lot of these people, they have faith, and they're speaking to themselves, or they're saying something, right? And it begins there. It begins by them hearing something, and then often they're either saying something to themselves or they're speaking something, right? And then what happens here, I think most of us know, and so she thought, if I just touch his garments, I'll get well. Verse 29, immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus perceived in himself the power proceeded from him, gone forth, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Okay, well, everybody's touching, right? Everybody's probably wrong. Yeah. So we see it all started with her. What's the centurion? He says, if you just what? Speak the word, my servant will be healed. And his revelation was of Jesus' authority. He knew that Jesus was tapped into a godly power that he was submitted to. And he understood the authority. But what did he say? He said, just speak the word. No, you don't need to come to me. You don't need to come here. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. What? There's something that they believe, but they also spoke. You think, well, that's crazy. Well, we do it all the time naturally, right? I mean, I remember playing sports and things like that. And maybe sometime I'd have a slump or something happen. I remember one time I was playing about 13, or I think it was about 13, I was playing, and I struck out, I remember that game because it was very, it was kind of tense, you know, and so I struck out, and you know, sometimes it's kind of, you got to get over that mental challenge to get back up again, right? And all the time I was speaking to myself, I'm going to hit it. 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 And I kept meditating. And then so I got up there and hit a home run right after that. Just boom. And I had the temptation, even 13 when I was under, I knew that I had to get my mind changed, my thinking changed, and begin, I would speak to myself, right? People thought I was crazy, probably, but I'm sort of, just, you know, motor mouthing away. But an opportunity to, and then sometimes I didn't do that, and I would, you know, I would continue a bad streak because I didn't change my thinking. I didn't change different things. But I'll begin with thinking different and speaking to yourself. And it's not, well, I'm just some self-help thing. No, what it is we're believing and we're speaking and we're relying on Jesus and we're what? We're using the name of Jesus. I just think we're not receiving things because we're not relying on Him. And we're not spending time with Him. We're not understanding. Like, well, we've heard these things before, but it's good to understand the enemies of our faith moving forward. And a lot of people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And, you know, I was not happy in, how can I say, years ago when I was in church. I just wasn't able to, I just sometimes connect with Him, the Lord. I always wanted to have a relationship with Him. But the more, sometimes I'll be at night and I'll just, and I will speak to Him. And I'll hear on the inside. And I have a conversation. Brother Hagin said he would go, and back in the day, and even when I was younger, we would have people that would come through the church, and we'd have people that, I think it was like Singspiration or something. There was a group, and there was all these traveling people like that would sing. And they'd have people, and you just go stay at people's church, or people in the church, their homes. And we would have people that would stay in our house years ago. It wasn't rent a hotel room and all those other things. It was just like, I mean, people, we didn't have money for that. So they would, you know, split people up, and we'd stay in different people's homes for visiting ministers and things like that too. And Brother Hagin was traveling, of course. He pastored for about 12 years, and then he went on, about 11, 12 years, and then he went on the road ministry. But he said he was talking one time, and then he said he happened to hear some ministers talking about him, and they didn't know he was right there. And he says, yeah, that Brother Hagin's just, that Kenneth Hagin, he's just a funny guy. He goes, I'm over there, and he goes, I know there's nobody in the room, but he's like talking like somebody's in the room with him. Yeah. And it's having that revelation of He's real, we're a new creature, He's in us, we have faith, we call on His name, and He hears us. And I believe, just like for me, thinking, okay, I may not be the smartest person in the world, but I know I've come to revelation. When I talk to God, I believe that when I speak to Him, that He's going to answer me in a way that I can understand it. Amen? Because He's way smarter than me, and He's going to be able to connect with me. And I think, I really believe, it's not that we're trying to connect with God. I think the real secret is God's trying to connect with us. We're just not allowing Him to. Because I believe the whole thing about the Garden of Eden until those of us who are born again step over on the other side with Jesus, I think it's a whole lifetime of God. And I see in my life, God is chasing us down, wooing us to be close to Him and to love Him and for Him to have the opportunity to love us back. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Father, we thank You so much. Thank You for Jesus, and thank You for Your word, and thank You for being a blessing, and thank You for answering prayer, and thank You for Your joy and Your peace in our lives. And Father, I just speak tonight, right now, there's joy and there's peace, and that Your joy is our strength tonight, and we glorify You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.